Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
My name is Tim Barton, and if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I'm the lead pastor here at The Vine. I and our other pastors and elders leaders would love to meet you. You can find me after the service. This morning, as we were just singing What He's Done, you know, I've already told you we're celebrating this 15 acres and giving you some of the things that God has done through that. But as I was thinking about what passage to preach on today, I was originally planning to continue in our Jesus Sees You series that I just started last week. But we're going to pause on that because I really just sense the Lord leading us to this passage this morning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And as we come to this passage today, what we're going to see is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is celebrating things that the Lord was doing in the life of the church at Thessalonica. And I'll give you context for that in just a moment. But before I do, I want to tell you what he doesn't emphasize. All right? I want to make this point for us all as we start here that we're on the same page. Let me show what he doesn't emphasize. It's not that these things are wrong, but it's what he doesn't emphasize. He doesn't emphasize celebrating because the church family in Thessalonica had greatly enlarged. The reality was the church was growing in Thessalonica. He didn't point that out. He doesn't celebrate because their building or their property was greatly enlarged. He doesn't celebrate because their budget was greatly enlarged. He doesn't celebrate because they were busier with church stuff than they had ever been. That's not what he celebrates. We're going to see what he celebrates as we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4, and then verses 11 to 12. Look there with me, and I remind you that this is God's word. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I told you I'd give you the context a little bit about what's going on here, what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. You see that context somewhat laid out in verse 4. He says there, therefore we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. All right, what we see there is Paul, and we know from the beginning of the letter here, Paul, Silvanus, or otherwise known as Silas, and Timothy are proudly telling other churches about the church in Thessalonica. They are proud about it. They are proclaiming this. They're excited about what they're able to say. They're doing that because of the church's faith and the church's love. And Paul is proud that they are enduring, that they are persevering in that hope. And he's really saying, if I put it in our words, he's proud of them because they're walking day by day, hanging in there, so to speak, even when things are really hard. That's what he's calling out. Now, it's important to know that Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians just a few months after 1 Thessalonians, and he was writing to a church that he and his companions had planted about a year and a half before. And they planted that church, they started that church, in the midst of an immoral, unbelieving, pagan society. Now, when I tell you that, you're probably not hard to guess that the church had problems, right? But let me go a little further than that, because I want to make sure we all understand that the reason I can say with confidence that the church had problems is that the church had what? People. And sinful people. I can also tell you that every church that has ever existed has problems, because every church that has ever existed has people. Right? And people, by nature, are selfish. We want our own way. We want to control. And I could go on and on. Right? That's the context, though, that as we come to this, and in this particular church, they were experiencing trials, persecutions, and afflictions, it says. It says, we see in the letter that they're confused by some false teaching. The false teaching was about when Jesus was going to return. And that day, that's a false. Some of the false teaching, there was other things. You know, I say that, and isn't it amazing how quickly false teaching can enter the church if we're not on guard against it? Right, well, I mean, this hadn't been that long since this church was planted. And Paul himself planted it, and already they're dealing with these things. But then also, some healthy people were also being very lazy. They weren't working, they were trying to live off others who were, because they believed Jesus was coming back soon, so what was the point? Right? And so they weren't doing what God had commanded. But in spite of those problems, you hear this and you're like, wait, what? In spite of those problems, Paul's praising them for being a pretty healthy church. Right? Because every church has problems, and the key is, what are we celebrating? Paul is celebrating them because they were growing in faith and love and endurance in all those things we've mentioned above. He's celebrating them to say, through it, you endure it all, you persevere, you stay faithful, your hope hasn't died, you're still looking ahead, you're still looking to the faithfulness of God through Jesus our Lord. And that's a reason to celebrate. And Paul says, we're not boasting in ourselves, we're boasting, we are bragging about you, because we see God working in you. And so what I want to do today, as we continue in this celebration, I want to take a few minutes to boast and to brag about you and about what we see God doing in you and through you. Now, with that said, let me make a little caveat, disclaimer, okay? We're not perfect. Thank you, Charlotte. We're not perfect. I acknowledge that we need to keep growing in everything I mentioned today. I also acknowledge that some of you have not had this experience. If I sat down and talked with you, you would say you've not had this experience at this church yet. And so I want to acknowledge all of that. With that said, though, I believe the Lord has been growing our church over the years, and then specifically in these last 3 years of our 15 acres of faith promise. And so we too can celebrate in the midst of challenging things. So what are the reasons we have to celebrate? What has he done? What do we see happening? Well, the first thing is we celebrate a church that is growing in faith. Look at verse 3. Paul says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it's right, because your faith is growing abundantly. Before we talk about that, we need to answer this question. What is faith? And what does that mean? Well, let me say what it's not first. It's not linear. It's not, I see it, I understand it all, all my questions are answered, now I believe it. Right? That's not the biblical definition of faith. The biblical definition says, Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. So it's saying, right? It's believing in our hearts, saying, I believe this to be true in my heart. I join with God's people who have gone before me, and I say I know my sin, and therefore I know my need for Jesus and his work in my life. And I, in faith, submit to my need for him, because it's only through the work of Jesus that I have assurance and conviction of my salvation, my future, and my hope. And so now back here to this passage. By thanking God for their growth in faith, Paul says we ought to give thanks to God because that is right. Like, he's coming back and he said, this is what we need to do. We need to give thanks to God. We ought to. This is almost an imperative. We ought to, because it's right. Remember what he didn't emphasize. I started with that list. He didn't emphasize those things. What he emphasized was that they needed to grow in faith, that they were growing in faith abundantly, that they were growing, we'll see in a minute, in love. Why are these the things he emphasizes? Because Paul knows that real persecution, that afflictions, that hard things destroy faith that is placed in anything other than faith in Jesus and what he's done. So when we have faith and hope in other things or something similar to those things that we were mentioning before, things that the world says looks good, or things we can measure, or things we think we can control, if those are the places we place our faith, then real persecution and struggle is going to destroy that faith. It's only through God, though, that growth in faith in Jesus is possible. And it's possible for us to be so messed up in our view of all this that we don't even recognize real growth. God is often growing us, and we don't even see it or know it or understand it, because we walk around thinking, I'm not placing this on all of you. Maybe I should just say me, right? But I think it's more than just me. We walk around thinking that as long as I can keep it together, as long as people look at me and they see it seems like everything's okay, as long as I can smile when somebody asks me how things are going, then I must be growing in my faith. So what we're saying there is, as long as the Lord is doing a good job teaching me how to fake it, I must be growing in my faith. That's not what the Bible ever says anywhere. And that is a burden that we place on one another or that we place on ourselves. And that is a burden that comes from the enemy. So while we're responsible to grow in faith, though, we can only do so as we depend on the indwelling Spirit's power. We talked about that in our Romans series, most recently in Romans 8. You can go back and listen to a few of those. But it's through his power within us. And so I pause for a minute to say, this is a reminder to all of us. And you may be sitting here right now thinking, just frustrated or angry or like, I don't see God working in this way. I want to ask you to do this. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family members. Pray for other Christians that God would increase faith in him and increase this love for others. But as you pray that, know this. The way he increases our faith is by putting us in places and situations that require us to trust him. In this 15 acres faith promise, we said that we wanted all of us to grow, our hearts to be changed, that we would grow in using all we have for his kingdom. About a year into the faith promise, I had a man with a young family, a wife and kids, that came to me. And he said, Pastor Tim, can I talk to you a minute? And it was out in the welcome area between services, looked pretty serious. I said, sure. Let's go. This was back when John preached more than me, so I had some time. And I said, "Come on, let's go into the office area." So we went in the office, and he said, "I made a faith promise pledge, and I really want to keep that." Well, at first I thought, "Okay, that sounds good," but he said, "My job just keeps ramping up hours every week, and it's getting out of control. So much so that I'm working about 70 hours a week. I'll hardly ever have any time to be at home with my wife and support her or to care for my kids or to disciple and nurture them. And y'all are telling me I need to be doing that, and I see that. But if I leave my job, I'm not going to be able to fulfill my faith promise." So I looked at him and I said, Do you believe God put that on your heart, that faith promise? Did y'all pray about it? Did you work through it? Yes. Okay. Do you believe that God has given you a command to love and to cherish and to care for and to nurture your wife and your family? Yes? I said, well, here's what I want to tell you. I want you to pray about it. I want you to consider whether God would have you leave that job. And if God has you leave that job, let me tell you this, that He will either provide that money for the faith promise through someone else in some other way, or He's going to surprise you and provide it through you. He left the job, not immediately, but He left the job. And about a year later, He came to me and He said, I just got this amazing bonus. I want to give it to the faith promise. Well, did you talk to your wife about that? So here's why I bring that up. Whether or not the Lord had done that, whether or not He had provided that through Him or not, didn't matter. Because what He did was He stepped in faith to honor the Lord, to trust Him. And the Lord grew His faith. And the Lord does these things as we surrender to Him in all these different areas in our life. The second reason to celebrate that we see Paul point out is a church growing in love for one another. Look at the end of verse 3, and it says, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Now, the word used here for love doesn't indicate some passive emotion or just some sentimentality that comes and goes. The word used is agape, and most of you know that word, have heard that word if you've been around the church. There are other words for love in the Bible, but this is the one that indicates Christ's love for His people. It is the love that is self-sacrifice. It's the type of love with which Jesus loves us, again, when He laid down His life for us. And so it's the kind of love that makes sacrifices for other people and that cares so deeply that it speaks the truth in love humbly, not arrogantly. And He's saying that type of love was growing and flourishing like a healthy plant. That's the picture of the language that's used here. It was growing and flourishing like a healthy plant. And He's saying, that's what's true of each of you. Now, it's interesting because Paul often in his writings, well, when there's someone calls in a specific issue in the church, he calls them out, right? If you think about his letters, he'll often call them out and call them by name and say, here's what you need to deal with. In this case, he doesn't call anyone out. And so it seems that in general, or at least overwhelmingly so, the church, this is characteristic of the church as a whole, that they are loving one another, that they are sacrificing for one another. Remember what Jesus said in John 13, 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. It's by this that all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so in hard times, in frustrating times, in persecuting times, in the afflictions, when the enemy comes with all his assaults, the church comes together. The church comes to one another in love. The church gathers in love. And this is a reason to celebrate when we see that happening. The reason we celebrate is because if you've never experienced it, when persecution and hard times come, what's the natural thing to do? The natural thing to do at that point is to turn on one another, to become hostile toward one another. And then you begin to find it difficult to make sacrifices. You find it becomes difficult to show love or to bear the burdens of others. You probably don't have to think hard beyond your home, right? And then you magnify that into the church. But the church, the true church, comes together. And I celebrate that I see that happening in this church family in ways most of you don't get an opportunity to see. Almost every time I'm called and asked to come to the hospital, or I find out that something's going on in somebody's life to go to the hospital, I get to the hospital, and almost every time, there is already someone else from our church there with the person that's in the hospital. And I'm not talking about their family. They're usually there too, but in addition to that. I started thinking about that last night, like, and I got up to 25 times recently. I was like, wow. That's loving others, because somewhere along the line you had to set aside something you were doing to do that. How many times people spend time on the phone with others because there's just hurt and pain? That is loving others. When I watch someone walk in on a Sunday morning, and this is a family that, if there's a family walking in that is fostering, and they are going through it, you know, it'd be easy to think loving them is just throwing some money their way. But I celebrate that through this 15 Acres Faith Promise, as we've been talking more and more about fostering and adopting, as we're thinking about this foster home on our property, what I see you doing now is coming alongside and caring, coming alongside and loving. Do you know that there are people that show up at the homes of people fostering to do laundry? Or they're taking meals or helping with rides or just taking children so that the parents can have a break. That's sacrificial love. That is love that we see growing among you. And I could go on and on with examples of that. But we celebrate that because we celebrate what God is doing in you and through you. Next reason we celebrate is we celebrate a church whose leaders pray for its people. Verse 11 says, "To this end we always pray for you." If you wonder why I skipped verses 5 through 10, that's the bigger picture of the false teaching and things that's going on. I'm not going back to them. I told you a little bit about it. Let's go to verse 11. Okay, we celebrate because a church whose leaders pray for its people. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, who had started the church and are responsible for the ministry to it, they were praying regularly. Paul uses the word, they were praying always for the people. And I just want to call this out that from the time this church started, Pastor John has kept this approach before us. That as the lead pastor from the beginning, even before the beginning, has prayed for this church, not the organization, yes, that, but for the people in this church. And over and over and over again, since he and Lizanne came here, they've done this. And what's beautiful to see is that because of that, now your elders are praying regularly for you. Your pastors are praying regularly for you, even by name. Your staff is praying for you. And we want to keep growing in this. We want to keep holding one another accountable to this. But y'all, it's happening in this church family, and we celebrate that. That's why we have elder-led prayer opportunities, because we want to be praying for the people in this church. We want to pray for marriages in crisis, but also before they get to crisis mode. We want to pray for children who are struggling with anxiety. We want to pray for hard job situations. We want to pray for sickness and fears. And in addition to those formal times, you know, we want to pray regularly and often for you. You know, I get so proud when I walk out in between service or at the end of the service. I can't tell you how many times, and John used to have this experience as well, where we walk back and we go to walk into our office to get something in between, and there are people in there praying for someone else. Not an organized time. Somebody just grabbed someone and took them back there, and we're praying. By the way, keep doing that. I don't need what's in my office that bad, okay? Can use it any time for that. Praying for one another. caring for one another. Or when I see you out here, now you following your leader's examples, stopping beside someone, knowing it's a hard day, and praying for them. These are reasons, this is a reason to celebrate who God is and what he's doing. That his leaders, the leaders pray for his people. Also, we have a reason to celebrate a church whom God has made worthy of his calling. That's the second part of verse 11. It's the end to which Paul is and his companions are praying, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. That's what Paul and the leaders are praying for. That the people who make up this church would be made worthy of God's calling. But notice how you become worthy of God's calling. It is God who makes us worthy of his calling through the work of Jesus. What's that work? His perfect life, his death to pay the penalty for our sins, his resurrection defeating the power of sin and death, and his continually interceding for us. What does that mean? Because this is the work Jesus is doing now. It means that he's continuing to say that these who come in my name, they are mine. He's continuing to say that nothing can separate them from the love of God, because that love comes through what I have done for them as I have called them by name. He's continually saying, they belong to me. And therefore, it is God in my people, Jesus says. It is God working through my people, Jesus says. It is God working in us who fulfills every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. That's why we talk about our vision being to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through the Three Loves mission. Because if our flourishing is something that is other than God's grace, to use the fruit analogy, that fruit's going to rot. Or if it's like we think we are flourishing because of what we've been able to accomplish in life, or we think we're not flourishing because we haven't met the others' expectations for our life or our own expectations for our life, what happens then? We begin to beat ourselves up when things don't go well, when they're not perfect. Or the other side of that, others have the tendency to take the credit for all the good work that God is doing by his power. And if we do either of those things, we're not fully living in God's grace. We're not living like we've been made worthy of his calling through what Jesus has done. And that'll keep us from being the last thing we celebrate. That would keep us from being a church who serves the Lord for his glory and by his grace. Look at verse 12. So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be a church who serves the Lord for his glory. And the only way we can do that is by his grace. When you walk in on Sunday mornings, it can be easy to see pastors and other greeters there, and we're greeting you, and that is wonderful. We love doing that. That is great. But I want to challenge you to do something different first as you're walking in the door. I want to challenge you every week to be greeted by God's word. It's right there as you walk in the front door. You know what it says? It's John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. But don't miss this part. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We celebrate And we continue to celebrate as we are a church who serves the Lord for His glory and by His grace. It is not about any pastor's name. It's not even about the name on the sign. It is about the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to join me in praying that God will continue this work in us, because we have reason to celebrate. And I'm going to do this in a way today that is very different from how we typically end the service. Okay? What we're going to do in just a moment is that, don't go yet, please. You understand. We're going to all stand up, and we're going to go out into out these doors and out into the grass area. And when we get there, we're going to pray two things in small groups, and I'll guide you when we get outside. If you're not able to go outside, I want to encourage you to find someone inside and stay here and pray with someone here. And those prayers will be on the screen. They'll stay on the screen in here. Outside, I'll guide you through those. But we're going to thank God for what He's done, and we're going to ask Him to keep working in our lives that we would bear fruit in this community. Okay? After we do that, we'll do the blessing and sending from there. And so quietly, I'd ask if we could stand up and just all move out that way. If you need to stay on the sidewalk, that's okay too. Just let others get out first, okay?
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.